lately, feelings of despair and general weightlessness came down upon me because I didn't have a thing ready. As a matter of fact, I was way out in left field. And up until about, I guess it was 2:45, Brother Nathan came into the office to pray for me, saw that I had the jitters, and then I was kind of freaking out and sweating. He came and prayed for me, and the Lord put something all together for me. I'd gotten bits and pieces and prayed and bits and pieces and prayed, but the Lord finally put it all together for me. Now, these were supposed to be a lot bigger, and I was supposed to have a gun. But I figured with these babies, who needs more firepower, huh? Wow. Okay. I also figured if I had a gun, I'd look too much like Arnold up here. Vote for me again. But, these, I haven't been pumping iron like Ellie. I have, but not enough to merit these babies. These are fake, so I'm going to go ahead and take them out now. I got maybe 7 or 8 questions. And they're just t-shirts, so they're not real. Sorry, Jessica. Let's see here. I couldn't even get matching t-shirts, and they weren't the same size. So, yeah. Well, they kept riding on me when I was playing the drums. I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not this buff. Tonight's message was entitled CGI. CEEGEEIYEYE, excuse me, CGI, or The Kung Pao Christian in True Strength. The Kung Pao Christian in True Strength is a title that comes from a movie that me and a friend of mine love very much called Kung Pao. I love it immensely. Now, it's one of those movies that you will love or hate, and I won't be quoting it or anything. I may pull out some voices. They are from the movie, and if only Johnny laughs, that's because he's the friend I'm talking about. But I kind of got off on a kick for a little while. I have to start out, I guess, at point A, which is, well, no, beyond point A, we need to go ahead, and I just need to go ahead and pray for my own nervousness and that the Lord would be able to minister to you tonight through whatever He has given me. So, Father God, we come before You this evening, blessing You and thanking Your name, Father God, for us being able to meet, Lord God, for the worship, Father God, for the Lord that You are in our lives, Father God. Lord God, right now, as I get ready to get into Your Word, Father God, and impart the message I believe that You have given me, Lord God, I pray that right now, Father God, any heart that needs to hear this message, open its ears, Father God. And everybody be stilled, Father God, just to hear Your voice, Father God, not what I say, not anything that I might make up or say, Father God, but that they would hear Your voice tonight, Father God. Lord God, that's what I'm here to do for You for tonight, Father God. So we come before You, Lord God, just welcoming You, thanking You for being here with us in Your heavenly name, Father God. Amen. Ooh, I really, 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 really tried hard not to gear this to where it was too, like, to the youth. But I'm a youth pastor, and that's kind of, yes, what I do. So, I tried to also make it not meaty, because the kids like meat. Corey, as a matter of fact, skipped the spaghetti and just got the meat. So, that's my kind of guy right there. I love movies. Anybody who knows me or who is my friend knows that I love movies. I am a big, big James Bond fan. Okay, I love James Bond. The music starts playing, and yes, many times I have stood in front of my mirror, straightened my imaginary bow tie, and uttered those immortal words, Bond. James Bond. And Jessica's blushing. I love movies. I'm a big fan of them. They entertain me. They tell me a story. They take me places. But I kind of got a little frustrated. I'm a big fan of old school, and old school was a bit more true. Things actually happened in old movies. The French Connection. There was actually a car chase in the middle of one of the busiest cities on earth that did end in a spectacular crash, an explosion. It was really great. Okay. Bullet. There was an awesome Mustang chase scene. Things actually exploded. Stuntmen did fly, and it was great. Now, Star Wars, parts 1 through 3, the ones that they just remade because they had oodles of money and wanted more. I wasn't too impressed with it. None of the explosions were real. Half of the characters weren't real. And I was just generally lost in the CGI, the computer-generated imagery. I lost interest. It's helped lots of movies. It made War of the Worlds go from a good movie telling a good story to a great movie with the special effects. It's Independence Day. That was about 12 years ago. That's about 12 years ago, 94, 95. Independence Day, anybody? Anybody? None of the young people. Yes, I see that hand back there. CGI made that movie into a great movie. Now, it was a retelling of War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, but I loved it. Pirates of the Caribbean, tons of CGI. All right, but they also had some real explosions, some really cool things in there, and the sequel just went completely overboard with the CGI, but I can't wait for part 3. That's out next summer. But do they hold up to the real thing? Will a computer-generated explosion hold up to the real thing of a real explosion? I did some searching, and it turns out Casino Royale, the newest James Bond movie, used CGI as minimally as possible only in the removal of safety harnesses and wires. Now, there's a couple of scenes that you know they have to be on safety wires of some kind because they're pretty much on a vertigo-inducing swinging crane thing where they're jumping and their thing's blowing up, and it's really cool. Actual things got blown up. I loved it. They destroyed actual sets. I loved it. It's one of my favorite James Bond movies. For the purists out there, he's up there with Bond. Sean Connery. Ha! Synonymous. See? Bond, Connery. Here's the thing, though. I think what takes movies, and I'll get out of this movie realm in a minute. I gotta kind of get into the groove to start off. What makes a movie a great movie to me is actual work. Because 40 techies sitting behind computers making one thing explode is a lot more expensive than one guy who knows how to use dynamite, one guy who knows how to place charges in a bridge to make it fall over a certain way for the camera, one guy who knows how just to set up that charge stick so he can have a row of electrodes that he sets off and explosions go off behind him. That's real. And it's powerful. They have to get cameras with huge telephoto lenses far, far away, or else the cameras will be destroyed because of the destructive force of these explosions. I watch a lot of special edition DVDs. Just ask Jessica. She's nodding now with chagrin. But do they hold up to the real thing? Okay, now we've gone from CGI movies to real life. Obviously, those weren't real. Those didn't even look real, okay? They looked like somebody in a last-minute burst of brilliance, he thought, shoved T-shirts in his sleeves. That's exactly what it was. That's what it looked like. Now, call me partial, but I like the real thing. Kung Pao, the movie that I started talking about, is a very unique movie in its own way because this guy took a whole bunch of old Hong Kong kung fu flicks, chopped them all up, and then put himself right in the middle of them, like in the actual pictures and imagery. He was one of the characters in one of the movies. I thought it was hilarious. 98% of America hated it. So I thought it was good, though. They're making a sequel for 2008, for those of you that are interested. Now, we can pretend all we want that Steve Odekirk, the guy that starred and created and did all the voices and produced and directed this film, he really did everything. We can pretend all we want that he was in the 1967 movie Shadow Tiger, or whatever it was called. We can pretend all we want that he was actually there. We could pretend that the guy that actually did the kicks and whatnot was actually there. We can pretend that every time a bad guy went down, Steve Odekirk actually punched him. But Steve Odekirk didn't punch him. That stuntman had been out of work for years. So, reality or fiction? Let's take a quick vote. Who wants the real thing? For those of you that can't see and are listening by internet, everybody wants the real thing. Anybody want the fake? We have one hand in the back. Steve Odekirk did all the vocal works for the entire film. Every voice you hear in that movie, except for one other character, is his. From the old man to
Betty, the evil villain of the movie.
He did them all. He played girls' voices. He played old women's voices. He played children's voices. He did them all. Can we pretend? Can Steve Odekirk pretend? Can he, for 2 minutes, say that, yeah, he did chisel his body into what was needed to make that movie? Oh, yeah, sure he can. And I'm sure he did some working out because there were scenes with him without his shirt. And he didn't look like me, but he was almost looking this good. But what is the difference between the strength he portrayed in that movie, where maybe he had a bunch of computer, I don't know what they're called, but they're a bunch of little like green balls they connect to you so that they can read your every move and put you in the movie. So when he was doing this, the computer read something awesome. The computer could speed it up and make him look like Bruce Lee. The computer could pretty much do anything. It turned this guy from a regular, random joker, pretty much like me, because I begged. I was like, man, if I'd have had this idea, I would have done it. And then, you know, 98% of America would be downing me. But that's fine. He can have that glory. There's just something about the way he came across. Now, if he was to get in a fight in an alley somewhere, Steve Odekirk in Hollywood, maybe he meets up in a bar with a bunch of people that didn't like his movie and they didn't like it enough to beat him up. Well, he can pretend all he wants that that was him. But that wasn't him. Chances are, chances are, he's going to get beat 18 ways from Sunday. And they're going to leave him lying in a puddle of Steve Odekirk on the side of the road. Can we pretend? Even David, even King David, and I brought this up last time, and I actually believe that I have brought this up every time I've been up here. Even King David shouted out to the Lord, Lord, check my heart, because if I'm pretending anywhere in my life, if I'm faking it anywhere in my life, don't let it be in my heart. Don't let it be something that I'm presenting to you that I think is okay. Check my heart for me, Lord. I don't want to fake it for you. King David, as we know, was one of the greatest, greatest kings of all time. He messed up. He sinned. We all know about the fall of great King David. But what a lot of people stop at sometimes is how he came back. But what did it take for him to come back? The death of a son. What did it take for him to stop what he was doing and say, my God, I've sinned before you. I'm sorry. Help my heart get back on the right track with you. The death of a newborn baby. The baby that came from the fall of him and Bathsheba. I think what happened there was such an implosion of true strength that King David could not help but be the greatest king of all time in Israel. They speak his name with respect in Israel now and countries surrounding. They don't just bandy it about, oh, that King David guy. Never. Because his strength was tested. He was given a workout unlike any he'd been through before. Yeah, he beat the giant. Sure, him and his band, his army, his special forces, if you want to call it, his elite unit. Sure, they beat the Philistines and the Amalekites and the Ammonites and every other ite out there. And the Gigabites, they beat them all. But David knew, as the Lord did, as the Lord showed David, his strength wasn't going to get him anything. Because when you pit a boy against the giant is not supposed to lose. So what happened? What is this true strength? Obviously, it's not the t-shirts and the sleeves, because those wouldn't help me do anything. If I can't pick that up right now, I can't stuff these in my shirt and then pick it up. They help me no way. As a matter of fact, they make it a lot hotter in here. King David didn't get strength from a CGI, a computer-generated image that put him in a movie. that that created his vast armies for him, because if he went into battle, if he went into a Lord of the Rings battle where it's the hundreds of hordes of evil guys and him and his computer-generated guys, he's going to get whooped because computer-generated doesn't do anything. We can pretend. We can build up in our mind. I keep saying computer-generated. Back in our minds, we can pretend and we can build ourselves up and we can make ourselves the biggest, baddest guy on the block. But when a real big bad guy walks up to us, what are we going to do? Are we going to use that pretense and say, "No, no, you're not going to pass through here. I'm big in my mind." Or are we going to step out of the way and say, "After you, sir"? Now, in an effort not to get my head pummeled, I would probably go with the second. Why? Because I've yet to build this body to what it could be. I gained a little turkey. And before that, and I can't just blame it on Thanksgiving. But I gained a little bit. And so my true strength right now is a bit different than what it could be. But even then, physical strength, I'm talking about pumping iron and getting buff and beating guys up. That's not even real strength. That's not true strength. What is true strength? Everybody stop, take just 1 minute and say in your mind, answer this question to yourself. What is true strength? Have you seen it in movies? Because it was scripted for those men. It was scripted for Viggo Mortensen to ride in on his horse, the victorious returning king of Middle Earth. It was scripted for him. The lines he spoke that were full of honor and courage and valor were scripted for him. Some geeks somewhere scripted it out, and they said, "Man, I would feel really cool if I read these." And they gave it to him. And man, when he said them on screen, when he gave that speech rallying the armies of Middle Earth against the armies of Mordor, man, I wanted to fight. I wanted to jump up and be counted with them. Because that seemed to me true strength. I actually made him a role model of mine for a little while. "Oh, John, he's a character in a book." Yeah, I found that out. He's not real. I found out real fast that as much as I worked on my smoldering intensive glare, I'd never be Viggo Mortensen. You see, you're not, because she laughs when I do it. When Viggo Mortensen gave his smoldering intense glare, nobody laughed, nobody giggled. There's no giggling in Lord of the Rings. Except for the hobbits, but they're just cute. The gun I was supposed to have ended up looking a little too real for me to bring up here. I went ahead and drew that line before someone else drew it for me. But I'll tell you this, the thing looks real. Is that me? No? Yes? Sorry. The thing looks real. I've got a little scope on it. I've got some brand new CO2 cartridges that fire that BB 350 feet per second, man. It'll sting you. And it could put out an eye. I've been told by many mothers. But guess what? Say, just on the random off chance that I'm sleeping upstairs at night and my mice are asleep with me. I have two mice. Yes, they're church mice. I've got two mice up there and they're asleep with me. And all of a sudden I hear a noise that's just a little too big to be made by my mice. It's just a little too big to brush off as, they're running on their dumb little wheel. I'm not going to grab that gun and go anywhere, because whatever made that noise may have a real gun. And when put to the test, I don't want to sting him while I'm dodging bullets. I don't want to put out an eye. I want to lock my door to my apartment and call the police and wonder why the alarm hasn't gone off. But again, that's something physical, right? Who in here has actually held a real gun, a real honest-to-goodness gun? For anything from a .22 to a shotgun, I got, when I was 14, I got the awesome, awesome experience of getting to shoot this humongous, dirty, hairy 44-something. It was big. A man stood behind me and held my arms so that I wouldn't knock myself out with a gun. I almost did anyway. I was a skinny little guy. What happened, John? Exactly, Louisiana. I braced myself. I held that gun, and I imagined that I was Dirty Harry. I almost said the line, but I didn't want to be, you know, too cheesy. I was 14. I was trying to be cool. And I fired that thing. And even with a man standing behind me, bracing my arms so that I wouldn't go flying back across somewhere and shoot somebody, I just about fell on my backside. Because that thing was power. Now, my BB gun. Okay, I can hold it in one hand and not look where I'm shooting, and I can shoot and there's no recoil, there's no nothing, and then pretty soon it's out of CO2. Now I gotta change the CO2 cartridge. Get rid of that one. Put that one in there. Put that clip back on. And then load it back up with some BBs. And guess what? Even after all that, it's still just a useless little piece of plastic. If I was a good actor, I might be able to pull off it being a real gun, but I don't want to chance it. I don't want to chance it. I'm sure I can hear the question. It's in the air. It's whispering in my ear, John, where's the scripture? I have one for you, but it's coming. Just to let you know, I did think about that. That was the first thing I thought about. But John, you're talking about Lord of the Rings, man. It's cool. I mean, it's all right. Excuse me. Sorry. My gun would never pass the test against a real gun. It hasn't got the distance, it hasn't got the accuracy, it hasn't got the power. Quite frankly, it's a toy when compared to an actual weapon. It's a toy. That's the difference between Steve Odekirk's Kung Pao and Bruce Lee. There's a video online that I love. It's Bruce Lee. He's standing, you know, in his Bruce Lee stance, and he's got his hand out this far, and there's a man's chest right here. This is a man's chest for 2 seconds, all right? And he doesn't move. Bruce Lee doesn't move. His hand, his wrist, and his arm do. And he does this. It looks like. That's it. And that didn't hurt me much at all. But the man, as soon as you see Bruce Lee's hand curl in, there is an impact that has already begun. And it closes into a fist, and he finishes that impact. And he's had that much room to work. That's not a lot of room. This man, whom they've set a chair back about 5 feet for him to fall back in, flies past the chair, pretty much over it. That's a weapon. These, they're toys. That's a weapon. But unfortunately, even Bruce Lee wasn't made of the true strength that I'm speaking of tonight. The true strength, the true refreshing, the true energizing breath that the Lord provides us with, being His children. I've beat around this bush for long enough. Open up your Bibles, if you've got them, to Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 29, and I think you know where I'm going with this. I might have given you lots of cute examples and funny stories and talked in some funny voices, but what I want you to realize is as much as this world has to offer, as much as I could go be in a movie and Hollywood could make me look like the next Chuck Norris, who is awesome, I wouldn't be. I'd just be me. I'd just be a regular guy. But why is it that when we talk about this true strength that the Lord gives, I'm not talking about muscles, I'm not talking about weapons, I'm not talking about power. There was an absurd movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger made where he fights the devil with a rocket launcher. You can't fight the devil with a rocket launcher. You can't get to heaven on roller skates, and you can't fight the devil with a rocket launcher. Can't get to heaven on rollers. Anybody? No? Okay. Right now, on the whole, as a church family, as a congregation, we're being faced with an ordeal, an acid test of what we are as a church family. We're being asked, what will we do if this happens? What will we do if that happens? What kind of support will we give? And I realize, on the whole, in the grand scheme of things, I'm still the new guy. Y'all have grown up and have loved and have gotten to know each other your whole lives. There are people here who met because their parents came here. But we're being asked right now, what'll you do? Will you get scared? I'm being asked that. This is one of the first big changes for me. I'm actually preparing and trying to give a sermon on a night that wasn't designated for me to be funny and hoo-ha for the young people and trying to get their attention and it was meat, and I give the young people meat, but it's a lot easier for me to talk just to these guys, because if you notice, y'all outnumber them a lot. It's a lot easier for me to talk to these guys because I know DJ and Christina, and I can give Corey a hard time. And Joy, not Kyle and Heather because they're married. This was a test for me. This was something that said, John, are you ready for this? You're going into this ministry. You're going into this, into these leadership roles that the Lord has for you. Are you ready for this? For 2 days, I didn't think I was. For 2 days, I was scared stiff at the thought of giving an actual Wednesday night sermon to actual Wednesday nighters, adults, grown-ups. But the Lord gave me some strength. And I don't know how it's going to play out at the end of the night. Honestly, if you don't remember me for tonight, that's fine. I'm absolutely fine with that. But if you remember that the Lord has an offer for you of true strength, for when you go through times that don't require muscles, that don't require a fast car or a big gun or an explosion, if you remember that, that's even better. When I was reading and studying and praying and pretty much bawling my eyes out because I didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight, the Lord brought to mind a scripture. My dad loves eagles. And just about every ornament or statuette has this scripture written on it. And my dad has tons of eagles in his office. Verse 29 says, he gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even young men will become exhausted, and young men will give up. But those who wait upon the Lord will find a new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We are told dozens, if not hundreds of times throughout the Bible, that we will be tested. We will be persecuted. But beyond persecution and tests that are personal, what about those that affect our family? What about those that affect our pastor? He's going through a test right now. I am learning so much watching him face this oncoming circumstance. I am learning so much what it really means to have that true strength. Any of you who have spoken with Brother Buddy, or who know Brother Buddy, who is everybody in this room, and this is not to praise him, or this is just, wow. If you're not learning from him, wow. I'm learning things I didn't even know I was ready to learn yet. I didn't even know I'd open that book yet. Are we maybe approaching this situation with fear and trepidation? What's going to happen? Who knows? Nobody knows. The Lord knows. And when we rest in the crook of his arm, Joseph, come here. Come on up. Just stand here. Yeah, face them, but stand here. When we rest right here on Papa God, right here, everything's okay. Papa God, that's right. Everything's fine. because it doesn't matter what size you are or how tall you are. I chose him because he was small and he could fit here. Thank you. When we rest in the crook of God's arm, when we wait on him, when we look to him for that strength that we know he gives, he does not falter and he does not let us down. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the test. For young men, from it being, will she go out with me? To middle-aged people, what are we going to do if this loan doesn't go through for the house? To situations where we begin to wonder, what is at the end of this test? What is at the end of this road? Brother Buddy said something to me that knocked me out. He said, if it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. But if the Lord's not done with me yet, I got a lot of work to do. There was no, what am I going to do? There was no, what's going to happen if? He said, the Lord's got everything under control. Brother Buddy is right now resting in the crook of God's arm. And God is holding him there and filling him with that peace and that strength. That they won't need guards to push him through the fire. He's going to walk through on his own. With the support system that this church is, that his family is. It's been a long time since I saw a family gather around and rally around like that. They didn't even need to go very far. My grandfather faced a situation with his heart a while back, and we had to wait for people to get there, and hopefully they were going to make it on time. They were here. And it wasn't as though they needed a call. It wasn't as though anybody needed an apology, or they were the family. That blew me away. The strength in that family has blown me away. And being so close to them, I'm learning. What are we learning through this? What are you learning when you see Brother Buddy in the crook of the Lord's arm, waiting for that next step? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you ask of me, I will give gladly. I know I use him as an example, because I'm learning from him. And I know that everybody in here has either learned this already with him or is in the course of learning it with me. When we look at what the world might have to offer and what the Lord does offer, what the world might have to make pretty to offer, and what the Lord says, this is how it is. When you take all the pretty off of the world and you wipe off his or her makeup and you get rid of the wig and you take off the fancy clothes, there's really not much left. But when you approach the Son, the gift, the strength that the Lord has offered you, and there's no pretense and there's nothing to take off and there's nothing to look past, when you take hold of that gift and you rest in the crook of the Lord's arm, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's no choice better than the one you've made, no matter what comes at you. And Brother Buddy's made that choice. And there are situations in my life where I've had to fess up and go, man, I've messed up. And none of it nearly so serious as what's happening in Brother Buddy's life. But I've sat in Brother Nathan's office many times, and just for example, when me and Jessica have an argument or a bobble, something small, very important to me, I feel this big having to go in his office and say, I did this. Many times I tell him in a joking manner, oh, she got mad because I said something really dumb. But I feel this big. The Lord helps me through those. The Lord helps me through situations that I wouldn't think the Lord would really care about or help me through. And I'm sure he's done that for all of you. I don't know if I brought any fresh new revelation or anything. I'm sure that all of you have read this scripture countless times. But look at it in a new light tonight. Look at it as going, that is where I need to be for my strength, because I can't carry this on my own. Maybe you're going through something that nobody in this church knows about. Or maybe you're approaching this same situation of what's happening with Brother Buddy, or what's going to happen here, or what if this happens and what's going to change. Maybe you're approaching it with a little bit of fear, and you're kind of scared and you don't know. Because 30 years, he's got a legacy built here of 30 years, and what might change if the Lord does something in that part of his life? I know the Lord's going to do his will in his life. And I know that Brother Buddy loves the Lord 100,000% more because he knows the Lord's going to do the Lord's will in his life. But where are we getting our strength when it's time for the Lord's will in our lives? Are we relying on muscles? Are we relying on our pictures of MySpace with us buffed up and in front of the mirror? Are we relying on weapons? For when our muscles fail, if that finger still works, man, we can fight off all the bad guys. Are we relying on our wits? All of these things can come to an end. All of these things they're dust. But when we find that true strength, there is no villain, there is no disease, there is no defeat that can come our way. Because that true strength is the Lord Jesus Christ and his victory that he brought us. That true strength is the energy to soar like eagles when we've got nothing left in our tanks. That true strength is bigger and more powerful than anything Hollywood could ever produce. Even when they make movies about God, they fail to do him justice. They can't come close. They can't capture 1 ounce of his glory. They can't capture 1 ounce of that strength that he has to offer. Find your strength in the Lord tonight. And whatever you might be going through, be it big or small or as a whole, this situation, whatever it needs to be, know that you will soar with the eagles when you rest in the crook of the Father's arm. No matter what the situation, no matter what the defeat, no matter what it looks like. That's all I have tonight.
I was very encouraged, John, and I appreciate the things that you shared. I think you shared some things that, in a way that I couldn't have shared them. I appreciate that. I want to give you an update on where Brother Buddy is right now, and kind of share a scripture the Lord gave me today. And again, I'm very encouraged by that, John. Thank you. We're gonna rest in the Lord's strength. As we walk through this process with Brother Buddy, and I want to make a commitment to you that I'll answer and tell you everything that we know when we know it, and so that you can pray well and be well informed on things that are walking that are happening. Since Sunday, on Monday, everybody went in for a surgical biopsy where they removed a lymph node from the groin area, right where the leg comes into the torso. He'd been having a lot of pain. Your lymph nodes are supposed to be about the size of a pea, and this one the doctor said was the size of a baseball, so it was pretty large. And what we're grateful for, one of the things that we're grateful for among many others, is that he has several of these masses, but there was one that was causing him a lot of pain. And originally the doctor was going to remove a different one, but that morning the doctor decided to go ahead and remove the one that was causing the most pain, which was a good thing because 2 days later, Brother Buddy is actually moving around better and has, even though he's cut, has less pain now than he did when he had that large mass. So that was a good thing. They sent the tumor off, or the node off, to be tested. But originally, they did an initial analysis right there on site to give them a first diagnosis, and then they send it off for further testing. The initial diagnosis is melanoma, lymphoma. And then so they set us up with an appointment with an oncologist today, and we went to that this afternoon, which is why I asked John to minister this evening. I knew I'd be with them all afternoon and didn't know how long it would take, didn't want to shortchange you on any type of, you know, just coming together, throwing something together at the last minute. So I appreciate John sharing. So here's the report we have today. It is confirmed to be a large cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You may have heard some of those terms before. Lymphomas are separated into two major classes, Hodgkin's lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's. And a non-Hodgkin's, or NHL as it's called, is then subdivided into other types of classifications. This one is large cell, which means it is a fast-growing, aggressive kind that without treatment is fatal within a year. Good news is that we caught it, and treatment will begin. Next week, Brother Buddy will go in for what's called a PET scan, which is a phasers. No, I'm kidding. Phasers on ready, sir. Photon emission tripod. I don't have a clue what PET stands for. I'm trying to be funny like John. But basically, it is a full body scan that will determine if the cancer has gone outside of the area that he had been scanned in the area where they discovered the nodes. Well, now they're going to scan the whole body, and they'll also do a bone marrow test. They'll take out some of his bone marrow with a very big needle, and they'll test it and see if the cancer has gotten into the marrow. And that will help them determine how aggressively they want to treat it. Here's what the doctor said today. He looked at Brother Buddy when he walked in. He said, "What are you doing here?" And Dad said, "Well, the surgeon told me to come." He said, "You look too good to be here." And Dad said, "Well, I shouldn't be here." And they kind of chatted back and forth. The doctor said to him, though, that this is a very treatable type of lymphoma, which is great. That's good to know. They have a high ratio of success in treatment. The type of chemotherapy, he'll start chemotherapy in 2 weeks, and the type of chemotherapy that he'll have a treatment every 3 weeks for 4 to 6 months. And it's going to be the kind that he's going to look like you, John, and he's going to lose his hair in a little bit. But then when it starts to grow back, we think it's going to be, I told him it's going to grow back kinky, but I don't know, it may be, I think it's going to be all white. He'll just have that glowing head of hair. But I'm kind of rambling now. We're encouraged because, you know, we've done enough research to know what we're facing. The doctor feels encouraged. He said that all healing comes from God. The doctor said this. And when Dad had shared with him, he was a pastor, you know, he said, "With your church family praying for you, we know where the healing will come from. It will come from above." And so that, you know, that's encouraging that you have a doctor who's going to treat you that doesn't feel like he's God, doesn't feel like he's got all the answers. The type of chemotherapy he's going to be using, I can't pronounce the word. It is a very, you know, heavy type, but it's just going to be 4 to 6 months of repeat treatments, and they'll do another PET scan three treatments into it. So about 2.5 months into it to see how well it's being. Is responding. So he is he's resting at home right now. He still has a drain from the surgery on Monday, which they'll take out on Friday. He just doesn't have the stamina to move a whole lot. So tonight he's resting. He may be listening to us right now. He said he wanted to hear John minister. So he may be listening right now. But you know, great spirit. His heart is encouraged. He's so appreciative of the love and the phone calls and all the things that have come his way. And guys, I mean, he's Brother Buddy, you know, nothing changed. He's just going to walk through this trial, and he's physically going to be weakened, but spiritually he is so strong and his heart is so encouraged. And so that's where we're at this afternoon. I went to a pastor's meeting this morning, came in, did some errands, and then after lunch, it was after lunch before I was able to sit down and read the scriptures and have any time of devotion. And I'll admit to you of being, this word, nervous about this afternoon's consultation. I just didn't know what we were going to hear. So before I went, I sat down and opened my Bible, and I'm reading through the book of Psalms, and I try to read at least 2 chapters a day. And the 2 chapters that came to me today, because I'm reading in order, were Psalms 91 and Psalms 92. And I want to read you the verses that I wrote in my gems as an encouragement to you. Psalms 91, verse 14, 15, and 16. If you want to put this up, Faith. Psalms 91, start with verse 14. God says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. That's what the Lord spoke to me, and as an encouragement. And then Psalm chapter 92, beginning in verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, I take the Lord at his word, and I feel like the Lord encouraged my heart with this, that he will still yield fruit in old age. He will be full of sap and very green so that he can declare that the Lord is upright. Now, I'm not making that a positive confession to try to create it with my word. I'm just looking at what the Lord said in his word and thanking him for encouraging my heart. So, over the next 4 to 6 months, you know, John talked about changes. We don't know exactly. Brother Buddy's asked me to minister on Sundays until he has the energy to be back in the pulpit. And I humbly accept that and want to have the Lord use me just as John wanted the Lord to use him tonight to feed you. I want the Lord to use me in that. We're just going to walk forward as a church family. We're going to pull together and encourage each other and love each other and love them, Brother Buddy, Sister Betty. And I want to encourage you to reach out to them as the Lord leads you to. I don't have anything. There's no special plans or we don't have you sign up for covered dishes or just whatever God puts on your heart to do, do that. That's the thing. Whatever he puts on your heart to do. And we're going to grow. Our roots are going to go deep through this and our branches are going to extend. And I expect the Lord to add to the body as he desires during this time of pressure and stress. By the way, Dr. Halewani really likes you, Brother Eddie. You got a great impression on his life. And that's who Brother Eddie sees, Dr. And the only way I can remember his name is Hallelujah One, Halewani. So, yes, sir. Is that right? Amen. And we'll know more after the PET scan and the bone marrow next week. He may adjust that, but that's his initial thinking, and that's what he wants to do. But he'll start in 2 weeks, so thank you for that. Any questions or comments or need some more information? His blood is red. I'm not sure what else I can tell you. He's not a blue blood, that's right. It may be blue inside the veins, but once it sees the light of day, it's red. Okay. Well, we walk forward, amen. And whose strength do we walk? Not in John's t-shirt strength. What's that? Try them out? I'm afraid they wouldn't fit. So, amen. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.